Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey, I bet you thought I was hacked, but I'm not. I just need you to vote. Please fucking do it.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. Happy Election Day to everyone here in the States. If you haven't already, get out there and vote. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, is Tass Mellis.
How do you do, everyone?
Hey, Tassie. Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, wearing a little velvet, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe, thrive. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Check out the Classic Factory hoodie, baby. Available at nodunks.com. Also in hat form, yes. And mug form. And t-shirt form. Lots of good stuff over at nodunks.com. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at NoDunks Inc. And later today, this is fun, at 1 p.m. Eastern, live over at No Breaks on YouTube. It gets flipped into a podcast, its own podcast feed. Days of Thunder film session. Wow. What a selection. That's a movie I haven't thought about in a long time.
Yeah, we tweeted it out that we're going to be doing a film session on it, and people are like, finally. They've just been waiting for 2 years of podcasting to finally get to Days of Thunder. And I think it's going to pay off because this is a good bad movie.
A good bad movie. Those are the best movies for film session that you can just like make fun of for an hour.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And certainly better than Driven, the last movie we did. Mm. I did bring a backup hat though, JD, for the show because we were talking in the group chat. Lot of incredibly tall hats in this movie. I mean, it's 90s NASCAR, so the hats are like at least 8 inches tall. Couldn't come in wearing a shorty hat like this one, so I got the backup ready for No Breaks later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Days of Thunder.
That was a good era of hats.
It was incredible. I was like, how did they find every one of these hats? Hopefully Robert Duvall hung on to some of them afterwards.
Okay, 1 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube over at No Breaks. Trey, Graydon, and JD, are you sitting in on that one? Did you watch that movie?
No, I have not. Okay. I have not. After Driven, I was tainted. Yeah. I was tough.
Was driven from the podcasting game.
I was super disappointed I couldn't make this one because I remember loving that movie when I was a kid. I'm sure it sucks now, but I would have loved to crap on it with you guys. Instead, I'll just be listening. I've got some appointments this afternoon.
Nice, man.
Yeah, just to give you a peek behind the curtain into my calendar today.
That's not much of a peek.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to give you some detail? I'm talking to my guy, Van. I'm talking to my financial planner today.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been on the books for a while. Yeah, we've got some, I've talked about it before, some plans to do some renovations. Let's put some money aside. How's the, how are the markets doing, Van?
Van, how are the markets, bud?
So that's what I'm doing.
Van plans.
Okay, we got to get into all the games from last night. All 15 games we're going to touch on here, key takeaways or one takeaway at least from each game. So we got to move with some pace.
Yeah, right.
And I know. And I got to lie to myself first. But let's start with Josh Hart hitting a three at the buzzer to give the Blazers the 110-107 victory over the Miami Heat. Probably the most entertaining finish to last night's 15 games. And you've got this one, TJ.
Probably the most entertaining finish to a basketball game yet this season. Mm. I signed up for this one just because Damian Lillard finally made his return 4 games out of the lineup due to a calf strain. But little did I know, the game of the night was awaiting us. You know I love a tale of two halves. And that's exactly what this one. It looked like Miami were running away with things in the first half, honestly playing Heat basketball. They hit 10 three-pointers, forced 12 turnovers. It did not look good for the Blazers. But in the second half, they locked in defensively. Justice Winslow got a ton of minutes as the small ball five, and they outshot Miami. And when I say outshot, I meant it because the final 30 seconds of this one, literally insane. Down two with about 30 seconds left, Lillard goes right by Kyle Lowry, finds Jeremy Grant in the right corner for the Klay Thompson catch-and-shoot three, doesn't bring it down past his head, knocks it down, Blazers up one. Portland gets a stop. Chauncey Billups gets a call reversed. Well done, saving the coach's challenge for really, really late. Anthony Simons steps the line, hits some free throws. Now it's Blazers up three. Miami ball, about 10 seconds left. They are down three, run a sideline out of bounds play to get Max Strus a tough look for three from the left corner. Who cares? Swish, tie game. Justice Winslow takes the ball out of the net. All of the Blazers looking around. Hey, we calling timeout here? We calling timeout here? Chauncey Billups says, no way. They get the ball into Lillard, and the fear of Damian Lillard got into the Heat's head at this point. 5 seconds left. Everybody's thinking, it's Lillard time. He's back from injury. He's going to take a half-court shot. Instead, he just jets by Jimmy Butler and Duncan Robinson. Kyle Lowry completely loses track of Josh Hart. Wide open in the left corner for three. Bang! Game! A heartbreaker for the Miami Heat. This was incredible. Third Blazer this season with a game winner is Josh Hart. None of them are Damian Lillard, so this was really, really fun to watch. The last 10 seconds, the last 30 seconds, the last fourth quarter, whatever you were watching. This was a banger.
Whew. Yeah, so now Simons, Grant, and Hart, all game winners here for the Blazers, which is pretty amazing when you have Damian Lillard on your team, who's known for like ending games, hell, ending series with walk-off shots. What do you got?
It was wide open in that corner, but it's a real tough situation. Take the ball out of Damian Lillard's hands, which is the thing to do.
Yep.
But now you have three other Blazers. It's pretty wild. And he was pretty open, although it was a second left, and he just fired it away real quick. He was wide open, but I guess it's the thing to do because Dame was going to come down and hit that shot, it sure feels like. So amazing stuff from the Blazers. The camaraderie out of that group. Finding it from everywhere, including Justice Winslow playing that small ball five against the Miami Heat, the team that once had him. And he was once untouchable with the Miami Heat because he's that good, because he can play everything, because he can play every position. He played in the playoffs against the Raps as a small ball five starting, and so he can do that. And I'm sure there was a little fire in his belly for this game, so I love seeing that.
Great, great finish to that one. Definitely go check out the highlights, like Trey said. All right, Steph Curry scores 47.
Yeah, we're moving.
Big scorer last night as the Warriors beat the Kings to end a five-game skid. This one had some controversy, though, Tess.
Well, let's start with just MVP Curry time, just in general. This is one guy who has been overlooked in the MVP discussion, and he is doing some wild, wild stuff. He's having his career high in points, which is surprising.
Yep.
You know, with the amount of talk that he hasn't gotten, career high in field goal percentage, rebounds, and free throw percentage like he always does. But, you know, going back just to the Warriors general, big picture, 3-7 coming in, 0-5 road trip. Warriors, first team in NBA history to start 0-6 on the road after winning a championship the previous year. So Steve Kerr said coming in, time to make some lineup changes. And with the bench, they drop prize pick James Wiseman from the rotation, drop prize signing Jermichael Green from the rotation. Would they come out fired up? They gave up 67 first half points to the Sacramento Kings. And their bench was bad again, led by Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, undrafted Anthony Lamb, and Ty Jerome. Those were the guys really who looked very bad off the bench. I wonder, though, as this bench is bad, I wonder if Steve Kerr, I know they were, you know, they're 4-7, that's not a good thing, but I wonder if it's Kerr is a little happy that Jordan Poole has to work through this as a leader of a group, because at some point Jordan Poole is going to be asked to do that with the starters at some point. He's going to try and lead the big guys, you know, at some point. So I wonder if it's a good thing. Either way, you could tell Steph was pissed that this was happening. He was angry towards the end of the first half. They were down 10, and Steph just went right to the official and got a tech foul. That's unlike Steph. Mm-hmm. He was real mad. He's just mad about the way that they're playing. And the second half, they're desperate to get Jordan Poole going. He should be where the pressure should be applied on the bench. The guy just got paid. They tried to put him into the starting lineup in the second half. They sat Kevon Looney, even though the starters have been phenomenal. They're just trying to get him going and tried to change the rhythm of the game. It didn't help. Poole has been stinking it up. I don't know if it's the payday or whatever. But either way, Steph just decided, it's me time.
We're getting a win here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Draymond, definitely decided that.
Draymond Green compared it to game four of the finals when they were down 2-1 to the Celtics, and it sure looked like that. So tight game down the stretch. It was just Steph ISO time, which the Warriors don't necessarily want to do, but he went at Kevin Huerter with a ridiculous Luka shot. I think we can call it the Luka, where you drive into a guy, get some space, turn around at the mid-post, at the elbow, and you hit that shot. You know, I bet Steph is watching Luka right now because he's a student of the game. He's seeing Luka do that. He's putting that into the game a little bit, into his bag a little bit more, and then he hit the ridiculous three on Kevin Huerter. He wanted the ISOs on Kevin Huerter, and he just did it. That was the end of it until Mr. Huerter
got fouled.
Had a chance. He did. Yeah, he had a chance to tie it. 3-point shot. And yes, the entire world is very mad. The L2M, the last 2-minute report, will be out because he did not get the call. And it'll say on there.
Klay Thompson
foul, yeah.
Four times.
yeah, I was going to say.
That was a lot of fouls.
Yeah.
That was a pretty bad miss.
It was a miss, for sure. I will say, like, the ref, the way Kevin Huerter was, like, fading to the sideline on the shot, like, on the actual shot. He hit him before.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. When he's fading towards the sideline, he's like fading towards the referee. He didn't flinch at all. Like, he didn't.
You want to embellish it?
Well, he was. He
kick
just,
his legs
he was,
out. He kick was his arms
floating,
out. Do
he
this?
Was floating into the sideline. I mean, he floated right into the referee. So yeah, I can sort of understand why the referee didn't see that part of it. He just didn't change his movement whatsoever, his body position whatsoever. So I can kind of see that part of it. But anyway, it was a foul, no doubt. But Steph, 47, 8-8 with 7 3-pointers made. And the Warriors are mad that they have to play their starters so much. That's the problem. Curry and Klay played 38 minutes each. Klay was getting burned a lot by Malik Monk on the other end. Mm-hmm. And Wiggins had to play 40, and Draymond Green had to play 36. Those are playoff minutes right there. So that's the unfortunate part for the Warriors.
Got to stop the bleeding, though. All these losses piling up. Yep. And there's Curry's like, all right, mm-hmm. We need to play our Hall of Famers here a little bit more minutes. And Curry bailed them out, and then the referees helped them out there. I mean, Huerter would have had to gone to the line and hit, of course, 3 free throws. I think he's like, what, 80% free throw shooter or something like that, maybe a little bit under. So, who knows if he hits all three, but then it's got to go to overtime. That's the thing. The Kings are like saying, well, we've had 2 games taken away from us, right? Because it was the Tyler Hero game where the last 2-minute report did show that, well, he traveled before he hit the game-winning 3. So they could have had 2 extra overtimes here to potentially win or lose. Could have a 5-4 record instead of a 3-6 record. Could. But, you know, there's a conspiracy against the Kings to keep them out of the play-in tournament, I guess. Yeah, that's tough. Entertaining finish, though, for sure. Any thoughts on that one?
The bench is, I don't know what's going on with the Warriors here. Every single starter was a plus. Most of them double digits. And every single bench guy was a minus. Almost all double digits as well. You can see a clip of the very last seconds of this game. Kevin Huerter going up for a shot, missing, not getting the foul call, and the bench reacts like this. They don't care.
Yeah.
The speaking is bad, as are the vibes. The vibes are bad for the Warriors right now. That's why we're not hearing much about Steph Curry. He has to go out there and do a game 4 of the finals to beat the Kings in November.
Yeah,
that's bad for the Warriors. That's why we're not hearing much about it, because he is playing really well. And he's pretty much the only guy. Like, Wiggins, I think, has been pretty solid.
Oh, he's been solid.
But he's probably their second best player after Curry so far. Klay has struggled. Draymond in and out. You know, Looney's doing his thing, but, you know, probably more valuable when it comes to playoff time. And, yeah, Poole's really, really struggling. So if he's not going to be scoring, their bench is going to struggle until they figure something out here.
Yeah, the scary part is the 3 draft picks that were supposed to bridge the old regime to the new regime in Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman have not played well. I said Wiseman out of the rotation yesterday, and Kuminga and Moody had their minutes dropped. Mm-hmm. So guys like Anthony Lamb, who Ty Jerome, playing more minutes, and Jordan Poole's acting like he's a champ. I think he has not found the discipline to keep going at it. I will say that I think the bench there on that clip, I mean, there are some reactions. I think that was just like, it's overblown. I think they knew that. There was a foul there too. I think they're like, okay, because there's, yeah, they knew. Can't wait to read the L2M today.
Oh, that's Trey's favorite thing. It's like his morning newspaper.
You don't need to read it. You know what it's gonna say.
Yeah. Let's keep it going here. DeJounte Murray and the Young Hawks hand the Bucks their first loss of the season. And I saw it with my own eyes. I was down at the Fortress last night. It was a little disappointing at first because we're headed down there for this weird 8:15 start because of all the staggered start times last night. And we find out Trae Young's not playing. We're like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. Like, Trae, you even said you were going to go down last night to the game too. And then you find out Young's not playing with like a shin injury. And you're like, oh, okay, well, looks like the Bucks will probably go to 10-0. Maybe it'll be a blowout.
I said no Trae. No Trae.
There you go. But that wasn't the case at all. The takeaway from this game is the young Hawks players playing incredible and handing the Bucks their first loss. Rookie AJ Griffin, incredible game. I mean, early in his career here, but career at 24 points, excuse me, shooting 10 of 15 from the field. Some tough buckets. He played awesome. You had Johnson playing fantastic for them as well, giving them really good defense. And then Okongwu, who's obviously not a rookie, but a young guy for this team. He had two monster dunks / thrunks in the putback form with Giannis in both of the picture. Had me up out of my seat, guys. I was popping out on that first one. I went nuts. You could sort of see it coming. It was one. I love when you can see like the big guy streaking in the missed shot. It's like perfectly timed, and he just threw it down on Giannis, who was a little surprised. But yeah, these guys, along with DeJounte Murray, who was like, you know, having to step up with no Trae Young, who had a monster line in the end, 25 points, 11 assists, 8 boards, 3 steals. That's spectacular. But it was these high energy plays and just efficient shooting from Griffin, Johnson, and Okongwu. And it had the crowd going nuts. Like, they were loving it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should be surprised that Onyeka Okongwu's dunking over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No, he is. He said athletic. He did it
earlier this season. We showed you a poster of him just riding him a little bit. He did it last season, too. He's a wonderful player. At some point, they are going to move on and put Okongwu in the starting rotation over Clint Capela. I don't know if it's coming soon, but Clint Capela's contract is so decent, it's hard to trade him, I think. But at some point, he's got to take over. It's great to see the young guys.
Yeah.
I think Bogdan Bogdanovic's contract, probably expendable. When you see guys like AJ Griffin balling like this, especially with the contract they signed DeAndre Hunter to, you got to save some money somewhere. And yeah, it's great to see the young guys come on, the draft picks come on real, real well.
I had to check AJ Griffin, the son of Adrian Griffin, mm-hmm. who played in the league. I was like, what was his career high? He beat him last night. Beat dad. 24 just eclipses Adrian Griffin's career high of 23. Did it a couple times. He did it at least in his rookie season. I think he did it once more. Do you remember all the teams Adrian Griffin played for?
Bulls. Mavericks.
Correct. Can you name the other three?
Did he get a Raptor, or is that a coach?
No,
Raptor?
He's just coach Raptor.
The Raptors.
Yeah.
Adrian Griffin.
You forgot the team he was started his career with. I can't remember him in this jersey is the weird part. Maybe. Boston Celtics.
No. Nope.
Remember that? Yeah.
Nope.
Celtics, Mavs. Then he played for the Rockets for 1 year. Went to Trae's Bulls. Then he went back to the Mavs. Then back to the Bulls.
Yep.
And he ended with the Sonics. Yeah. He had like a 13-game stint with the Supersonics. So there you go. AJ Griffin already has that over his dad. And look, he was fantastic, like I said. And this is Nate McMillan is notoriously reluctant to give young players burn. And part of it was obviously Trae not being there, so he went to these guys, and they delivered last night. It was a really, really fun game. I'll say this, too. The Hawks, they need to lie to all of their season ticket holders or people buying tickets to come down to the Fortress to watch games. And what I mean by that is that 8:15 start, perfect, because I'm convinced 90% of the people in the stands last night thought the game was starting at 7:30. So for the first time that I've ever gone to the Fortress – packed when the tip-off happened. Usually, it is sparse. People are still up in the concourse. They're still getting to the arena because traffic's brutal here. That's the move, Hawks. Just say 7:30 to everybody and then just start at 8:15 and everybody's there. Great vibes. Great energy. I think it's something there. And then my final thing, just because, remember on, I think it was yesterday's show or the day before. Yeah, I don't know. What day is it? I brought up this thing about Jrue Holiday where could he be like, the biggest gap between a first All-Star selection and if he were to make it this season, a second All-Star selection. That would be 10 years. That's a hell of a gap. So I was talking to Jared, to my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish. Doug Miller in the house. I'm like, can anybody beat this if that's the case, like 10 years? The best we could come up with, Manu Ginobili did 6 seasons of a gap. And then Frank Selvey. Who? You don't remember Frank Selvey from the mid-50s? Number one draft pick, I believe. He had a 7-season gap between his first All-Star selection and second when he was near the end of his career, I think, with the Lakers.
No, that's okay.
So, Drew Holiday. He could do it, is what I'm saying to you guys. Could do it.
Yeah, in your face, Frank.
Yep.
Yeah, in your face, Frankie. Yeah.
The only other thing last night...
What do you got?
Well, I found out that there's a $1.9 billion Powerball going on here in this country. Yep. Wow. Wow, that's... I don't know if anybody won. Did anybody win? I don't know, but I just found that out last night.
Was it last night?
What?
Was it last night?
Yeah, I think it was last night, yeah.
Cool.
Isn't that crazy?
That's all I've
What would you do, Tass? What would you do? Would you take the lump sum of, let's say, $500 million, or you do the old spread it out, get a paycheck?
$500 million? Why? You only get 25%?
You get like a crazy low percentage, yeah, if you do it.
It can't be that low. It can't be that low.
No, Tass, it's quite low. It's quite low. That's how they get you.
Come on. I'm Canadian. I get 100%. We don't tax.
All right.
They delayed the draw.
Oh!
From what I can tell here.
Why?
A participating lottery needed extra time to complete the required security protocols.
Good, good,
good.
I think that's the plot to Lucky Numbers, starring John Travolta and Lisa Kudrow.
Wow.
That'll
be
check the facts
next
on that
week's
one.
Film
session,
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's keep it going, unless you guys have any thoughts on the Hawks stopping the Bucks streak there. Yeah.
I'm out of Frank Selvey thoughts.
Okay, okay. Well, there you go. You learned something from me today. Zach LaVine scored 30 points to pace the Bulls past the Raptors, 111-97. Trey, you called it. It's the weekday Bulls.
T'was a Monday.
Yep.
T'was a Monday. T'was a Monday. They came through with the win. On Sunday night, the Raptors were the aggressors, and they were wearing their home uniforms. The Bulls were wearing black, but on Monday, the Bulls flipped the script. They were the aggressors, and they made the Raptors wear their black jerseys. Biggest change for Chicago, I would say, was Zach LaVine coming back after resting. On Sunday, he led the way with 30 points, went 11 of 20 from the field. This was his first 30-point game of the season. Fred VanVleet was really the only Raptor, I thought, who played well. Kept him in it. 27 points, 6 threes from the good old Illinois boy. Gary Trent Jr., I suppose, had a good game as well, 19 points, 7 of 12. But the Raptors, I just... thought didn't really have it this game,
no.
Scotty Barnes included.
No.
Like, his one basket was a monster dunk. The Bulls had 21 turnovers, and they still won this game pretty easily because they crushed it on the glass and shot 53% from the field. I wonder what the stats are from these past three seasons on playing a team one night, then flying to their arena and having to play them the second night, because it has to be an advantage for the team that loses on the road in the first game to then go back home and get the win, because you're both traveling.
Yeah.
And, you know... probably the winning team from the first game is like, yeah, we got that one.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes tonight. You know, give the full effort. And that's kind of what it felt like in this one. Bulls bench was good again. Raptors went a little deeper into their bench this time, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, a little different game when Zach LaVine is playing, too. And the strategy from the Raps is, like we saw in that first game, was get the ball out of DeRozan's hands. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you're going to live with Williams or Caruso in that case, or whoever, Io, like, trying to beat you. But then you throw Zach LaVine in there, and it's like, oh, now he's going 4-on-3, or he's stepping into shots that are open off the rotation. So that's why I was that's why I ended up taking the Bulls in our pick 'em. I thought it might be a little closer, but in the end, Chicago dominant there. Any thoughts, Tess?
Well, as Trey said, when you play a team two times in a row, you know, home, road, whatever, it's like a playoff series. Obviously, the team that loses is going to come out with some adjustments, playing harder being one of them.
Yeah.
And the Raps, young guys off the bench, even their old guys off the bench, they weren't ready for that. They weren't ready to fight. They weren't ready for that energy. They had zip, zero, zilch coming off the bench. It was, you know, Warriors-esque what we were just talking about. So that hurt. That hurt watching those guys come off the bench. You know, like the block shot category even. Christian Coloco had 6 on his own in game one of this two-game baseball set. And then... they had 7 overall total in the second time. So I guess the biggest disappointment was Scotty Barnes as well. Like, without Pascal Siakam, he needs to be a little bit more of a playmaker. And he had a really bad game. The dunk.
Dunk was huge.
Amazing.
Sweet dunk.
That was massive.
Big time sweet dunk.
That was beautiful. But they needed another playmaker. They needed Goran Dragic to switch jerseys, and they needed a little more effort from the bench, and that didn't happen like it did in the first game. That's to me, that was a huge part of how they beat the Bulls in game one.
And look, let's be honest. We said it at the start. You can't beat the Bulls during the week. Are they undefeated still?
2-0 on Mondays.
Okay.
They've only lost on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday thus far this season.
So
I'm feeling good though. I'm feeling good. I did the math and I saw that there are more weekdays than there are weekend days. So I'm thinking the Bulls are going to finish over 500.
Oh, okay.
The Bulls are exactly like me. I lose every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in terms of my eating habits. Monday through Thursday,
like
I'm
the
a
rope,
champ.
Hey? Yeah,
I'm a champ. The weekend starts on Friday. Done. I'm good. Four
it's a
versus
cheat weekend.
Three.
Eating your horseradish chips in the pantry by the bay. All right.
Also, the Raps have split all three of these baseball sets.
Oh, nice.
You know, this one isn't technically
a baseball set.
Sixers,
Heat, and now the Bulls.
Yeah, this one technically isn't a baseball set because baseball set, same arena.
Yeah, two games.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, playing the same team two times in a row, yeah, there a lot of splits happen.
Same thing.
Especially,
right.
Yeah, the Raps aren't surprising anybody in game two with their long arms.
True. All right, our next game, Joel Embiid, he's back.
Oh, baby.
Double-double in his return. 76ers beat the Suns, 100-88. Tass, you had this one.
Joel Embiid's hilarious. He's back three games out with the flu. After the game, he said, "Our season started tonight. The Phillies are done. I enjoyed watching them, so our season started tonight. The other games don't count." He turns it on when he wants to turn it on. It's clear. And, you know, he's a real old-school guy in that way. I think, you know, all the old-school players.
It's very Shaq-like.
All the old-school players would say, you know, they hate the new era, a lot of them. They should look at him and be like, oh, yeah, that's our guy. You know, turns it on when he wants to turn it on.
I will say, just to push back on that, it's a little different when a guy says it that's maybe won a title or even gone to a finals. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, then I feel like it's okay for a Curry or a Giannis or a LeBron. I mean, you know, we're taking our time. We'll play harder when we need to. Even that, you like roll your eyes a little bit, but you can understand it.
Yeah.
What does Embiid want?
Yeah.
Nothing. So, no. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's Shaq-like for sure. Without the ships.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
But he came out in this game and just wanted to go at Ayton. So the beginning of the season, maybe not a motivator, but now he's motivated. Phillies are done. But also he sees DeAndre Ayton on the other side. He loves playing against DeAndre Ayton. He's just one of those guys that needs something to motivate him. He has destroyed Ayton. His last seven games against him, 30-plus. Every single time. He goes at him. He loves playing him. 33, 10, 5 assists, 16 free throws, which... is Embiid-like, and 37 minutes, extremely important that he's playing all those minutes. And this was a Sixers type of win when we picked them to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. These ugly games, these high free throw games are the games that they should win. They held the Suns to 88 points, and the acquisition of DeAnthony Melton sure helped out in this one. He hounded Devin Booker. Even though Booker had a nice game, it was tough. It was a tough game, especially Chris Paul did go out in the second quarter. He was chasing around a screen, and he came up limping. They call it a heel injury, but DeAnthony Melton is a guy that Doc Rivers should be able to rely on in situations where they need to chase around a guard, because Harden, that's not really Harden's forte, but still have a guy who can score because Matisse Thybulle was sort of their guy last year. DeAnthony Melton's their guy. He did a great job. So now the entire city of Philly is behind them. Embiid is into it. Things are better. And the Niang Gang is
back. I was waiting for you to drop a Niang Gang on me.
Baby.
7 3-pointers made.
Van Gang Gang Gang. 21 points for George Niang. Monty Williams said we left him open too much. Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. And I understand why was he on the scouting report? Was George Niang on the scouting report? I doubt it. I got to be honest. I doubt it. But this game was old school and ugly. The Sixers actually shot under 40% themselves. Mm. But those are the games I think that we all expected, you know, slow to some degree. Low scoring, and this is a good ugly win, and then some fight with this Philly team. 3 minutes left. Damian Lee of the Phoenix Suns. Sometimes I forget he's on the Phoenix Suns. He got into it with Tobias Harris, and I bring him up because number one, it's good to see some scrappiness from both teams, and number two, he could fill in a little bit for Cam Johnson as well because Torrey Craig started, hit his first shot, but then didn't hit another shot. Yeah. So they have guys to fill in. But either way, Sixers are alive.
All right. Remember last week when we were talking about the Lakers having a really crappy record, but hey, at least the defense was elite. It was like near the top of defensive rating. It's like, that's something at least, right? Well, all it took was them playing the Utah Jazz a couple times, and they are now the definition of mid when it comes to defense. Dropped them all the way down to 15th in defensive rating after those two games and two losses to the Utah Jazz, because the Jazz rolled again last night, 139 to 116. No LeBron for the Lakers, but man, Utah set season highs in points scored with 139. Field goals made, field goal percentage. I mean, they shot 56.4% from the floor. They made 16 threes. They once again scored over 130. They've done that a couple times this season. Seven Jazz players scoring in double figures. Everybody giving it to the Lakers, who, again, they had the defense. You know, that was the one thing. We're like, okay, that offense comes around. Guys start knocking down some threes, they'll be okay. But, yeah, I mean, there was no defensive intensity from the Lakers in this one at all. That's what Anthony Davis said after the game. That's what killed us. And the Jazz. The Jazz are, like, at the top of the Western Conference standings. Like, if you just took the records for these two teams, the Lakers and the Jazz, and just showed somebody that doesn't really follow the league all that much and said, well, which one do you think is got the basically the 10 wins? What's the Jazz at? 9, 10 wins? And then the team that's, like, 2-9 or whatever the Lakers are, and put them, like, 99% of people that aren't following the league are going to obviously give that good record to the Lakers and the bad record probably to the Utah Jazz if you knew they traded all their guys in the offseason. And it's opposite world here. It's bizarro world. It's nuts.
I mean, yeah, but if you showed up, what if you showed these
rosters?
People, the rosters.
Yeah, good point.
And you see
good
the point. Starting lineup for the Jazz: Clarkson, Markkanen, Conley, Olynyk, Beasley. I mean, that's not a murderer's row out there,
no.
But those are names that people may have heard.
Yeah.
Then you look at the Lakers starting lineup: Anthony Davis, top 75 all time.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves, Kendrick Nunn, Troy Brown Jr., Wenyen Gabriel.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
The season is over for the Lakers. They've got to win like 60% of their games from here on out to get to 500.
Jesus.
They're already six games under 500 right now.
Yeah.
The season is
over for the Lakers.
Wow. Well, then trade Anthony Davis. Billy Boy heard some buzzing going on.
Billy heard some buzzing. All the boys are buzzing.
Should we just come up with Anthony Davis trades?
It's bad news bears for the Lakers here. Yeah, we should just come up for Anthony Davis trades.
Okay.
Why not?
Let's do that tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll obviously have a million games here to talk about.
139 trades. Points.
Jesus.
That's a lot of points to give up. Especially when your guys, like Trey mentioned, you know, the guys in there should be scrapping and fighting and rotating and giving it their all and putting their blood, sweat, and tears on the floor, and that didn't happen. Because, listen, Lauri Markkanen's shooting like 80% this season. I mean, he's on fire.
Yeah.
They're all on fire. Him and Clarkson. I don't know who's going to the All-Star game, but one of them's got to go.
I like how you keep trying to make like a sly case for Clarkson, but
no.
It's Lowry marketing with a bang, my man.
No, I don't. It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Hell,
mad
they might
at
have
that.
Two at this point. I don't know.
I'm not mad.
I know.
I'm not mad, but is it 100%? Is it 100%? Probably.
Well, yeah. Come on. If the All-Star game started tomorrow, Lauri Markkanen is the All-Star selection from the Utah Jazz. And then, hey, maybe there is a second in Clarkson, but that's the order. Trey, back me up on this.
Yeah, I mean, he's at 22 a game. I was going to make a case for Clarkson, but he's at 18-5. If he would have been at 18-9, then I'd be like, hey,
Clarkson is doing the exact same thing he's always done, except he's in a starting role, really.
22 a game, 53% for Markkanen.
Right. Wow, he's got the assists have gone way up. Okay, but no, listen, I'm a Lowry guy. I love my finished breakfast, but I just...
What's a finished breakfast?
You said this twice.
Heavy
now.
On the yogurts.
Heavy, really?
Heavy on the dairy.
Heavy on the yogurts.
I think.
Nice.
You're not sure.
I don't know. I just said it because I was eating breakfast a lot during EuroBasket while watching Lowry Mark.
Oh, right.
Not necessarily because I was having a finished breakfast. I love Israeli breakfast.
Oh, that's good.
My muesli, which is yogurt and some shaved almonds and some oats. Anyway,
some
from
oats.
Canadian oats.
What's a finished breakfast? You're looking it up.
It appears to me that porridge is the backbone of the finished breakfast.
Oh, I like porridge.
Yeah, there you go. Finnish oatmeal is delicious, according to herfinland.com.
All right. I wish sometimes I love the warm weather of Atlanta. Don't get me wrong. I don't miss the cold of Canada. But, you know, I don't eat as much porridge because of the warm weather here in Atlanta. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
That's a cold breakfast. I mean, like a, yeah. Cold weathered breakfast.
That's true.
You know,
that's why it's the backbone of
coating your guts.
Breakfast in Finland. I agree. I love a nice oatmeal or a porridge. I don't know what the difference is or how muesli factors into the equation as well. It's all oatmeal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. for sure. I love my overnight oats, which are cold oats.
Ooh, cold oats. Just
because, so you don't have to think about it in the morning. But yeah, the Finns, they eat their porridge, but then they go in the sauna. Because what's going on there? It's cold, but then they like being hat.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good for your body.
Yeah,
good
really.
For your skin, I think. I don't know what I'm saying right now. Okay, let's get back to the Lakers. They got their ass handed to them by the Utah Jazz. And then this other game I want to touch on briefly here is possibly a guy that's been linked to the Lakers for weeks, for, if not months, Miles Turner. 37 points, 12 boards, season highs for him, as the Pacers beat the Pelicans last night. Tough loss for me. I took the Pelicans in our elimination survivor NBA pool. I'm out of here!
Oof.
I'm eliminated in week three. Man, I felt good about that Pelicans pick. You know, the Pacers have been winning some games here. I'm like, okay, they're due for a loss. Pelicans getting their guys back, Ingram, Herb Jones, stuff like that. And no, Turner's like, hey, Lakers, don't forget about me. I'm still good. 37-12, like I said. Guy had been averaging 14 points per game in the five games he had played. He had missed a bunch of time there with that sore ankle. But yeah, he still putting on a show, reminding league Lakers or the league, you can trade for me if you want. But the Pacers are like 500. It's amazing to me. I thought they'd be the worst team in the league. They've won four out of their last five.
For sure.
And my only other note is Chris Duarte is out for them. He's going to be out of the lineup like 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained right ankle, or left ankle, excuse me. And they put Canadian Andrew Nembhard into the starting lineup. Kept Mathurin off the bench because he's dominating there. This guy's averaging 19.4 points per game off the bench. I don't think a rookie's ever won six man, have they?
Ben Gordon.
Did he?
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yep.
Nice stat.
Benedict Gordon.
Well, there you go. Well, he could be the second if he keeps this up. Yep. They just didn't want to, you know, mess with what's working with him coming off the pine. And Nembhard played really well. 15 points, 5 assists in his first start. That's great. So contributing. He's good. These Canadians, man. I can't wait to get these Canadians on Team Canada. And one day finally take down the mighty Americans in international play.
Keep dreaming, buddy.
Oh,
but they should start Mathurin. I mean, it's cool they kept him off the bench, but they should start him.
You think so?
Yeah, that's their future backcourt is sure. Halliburton and Mathurin.
He plays a ton. It was a good
Yeah, thing. No doubt about it. He plays a ton. And but come on. I mean, going forward in the future, why not? Let's see what's happening here. Nembhard
well, they're probably like,
the
we want to keep playing Buddy. Obviously, keep playing Miles. Maybe make a trade here eventually. And then I'm sure he would be slotted in there. But yeah. Good win, and I'm out. Did you make your pick for week three?
No, it sucks now because you remind me every week, and now that you're not in it, I'm going to forget for sure.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Here, I'm good this week. I'll make my pick.
Okay.
Next week, I'm worried. I'm really worried.
Well, you're technically not the last man standing of our group just because you haven't made a pick. You could go out in week three here.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
I still standed longer than you.
Well, that's a technicality. You haven't made a pick.
Anyways, since we're trying to figure out this longest span between all-star appearances, we had a Canadian going for a Canadian here with Chris Duarte. We can call him a Canadian. He's both.
Yeah.
Chris Duarte subbed in by Andrew Nembhard.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? I don't know. If a Canadian has ever come in for a Canadian, somebody find out.
We have a lot of tough questions.
That is
a
tough
things to
show.
Figure out.
Thank you for that Ben Gordon fact right away. That's
got
really,
that one
really,
chambered,
yeah
that's
really
a good
impressive.
One.
Really impressive. Okay, we got to take our first break. We still have 8 games to get to, so don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, making our way through every game from last night. All 15 games, all 30 teams in action. We had a super chat here, though, in the stream team. The Golden Eagle 99 for $10 wants to know. Thank you, Golden Eagle. You did not need to do that. The question, let's ask it. Do you guys think LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, KD, and Kawhi will make the All-Star game this year? Thanks. Love, no dunks. Let's go through them. LeBron. LeBron is an interesting one. Yeah. He's going to be voted in, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he is. Okay, LeBron's in. Anthony Davis? No.
I agree. He's not in on merit. He could be in on Lakers bump.
Oh, but if you
get a Lakers bump.
Voted in?
Nah, if you get a Lakers bump.
I agree.
I highly doubt. But if you get a LeBron bump, I highly doubt you're going to get two bumps.
That's probably true.
But also. Okay, so I hate to do the formula again, but a guy gets voted in. That's only 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
Like, if he is ranked very poorly by the media and players.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
He should still get
Okay, LeBron, we're saying Anthony Davis probably right now. I mean, not. Kyrie, there is absolutely no way I'd imagine. KD's a lock.
Lock.
Kawhi, no.
He's not playing.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, there you go. The Golden Eagle. 99.
I mean, it's similar to last year. Kawhi didn't make it. Kyrie didn't make it. Who made it amongst the Lakers? I think it's just LeBron.
Yeah,
just
LeBron. I think it was just LeBron. Okay.
Andrew Wiggins started the All-Star game
last
year.
Yeah, he did.
Nice.
Okay, let's keep it going. We're not even halfway through the games from last night. My God. But task get us started here. Jason Tatum, 39 points, helps the Celtics hold on to beat the Grizzlies. It's a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. And since we're giving a little bit of love to the stream team, a little bit of love to the commenter here who mentioned a smart Sorb. Marcus Smart Sorb in connection to our ad there. Very well
smart
done.
Smart Sorb.
Marcus Smart Sorb.
He plays four times better defense than the best perimeter guard out there. You think your perimeter guard can play defense? Not unless it has Marcus Smart Sorb technology. It defends four times harder than the leading guard.
Shout out to DC for that comment in the stream team. Because Marcus Smart held this team together for a while. He was playing awesome to start this game, but it was their MVP, Jason Tatum, who took him to the promised land, and he has a very good shot at winning MVP. 39 points. I know it's super early. He had 39 points, two blocks in this game, so he's got a career high in scoring right now. Field goal percentage, he's becoming really efficient, and blocks. He's going to have that little boost, I think, amongst the voters that, this guy defends 1.5 blocks per game. He's always been really solid, especially with this Celtics team that went to the championship with a great defense. But Smart is looked at as a better defender. Robert Williams, blah, blah, blah. He is a fantastic defender. And the fact that they're 7-3 now and obviously picked it up in the second half of last season bodes well for his MVP chances because he's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. And there are signs of that good defense. They have been struggling defensively. They've had a little bit of the, hey, we're the champs. We're
Eastern
the NBA
Conference
finalists.
Champs.
Yeah. Hey, they still get T-shirts. They may not be champs. But anyways, that sign of the defense, it was coming around, especially with Tatum. He was carrying the reserves like an MVP. Jaylen Brown was not doing that. But Tatum in there, he was doing that. Came down to the final seconds, though, as Tatum hit a couple free throws, 2.2 seconds left, and Ja Morant had a chance from the backcourt to at least fire one up, but he slipped in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. He's better, you know, flying up with an inbound at the end of games, as we know his play, fly, and then somehow contort his body around a defender. But anyways, he slipped in the backcourt, and the Celtics won a very tight game where Jaylen Brown wasn't having an awesome game, but Jason Tatum carried his squad. It was very much a A1 player from one team, A1 player from the other team going at it with the other guys not playing to their capabilities other than Marcus Smart-Sorb. Ja Morant finished with 30, had a great night. And after yesterday, we commented about Al Horford sort of trolling DeMar DeRozan with the violin. Mm-hmm. He had a free throw flinch in this game, too.
Oh, Horford's on fire.
Where he pretended. Well, yeah. So anyway, there we go. Good stuff the Celtics, flying high.
I know we're trying to fly through the games here, but I love this Tatum in the MVP conversation. He's at the table. Who are the other five guys?
Luka.
Okay.
Giannis.
Okay.
Always. So that's three.
Yeah, Tatum.
I think it was Tatum, Luka, Giannis.
Okay.
I think Steph's got to be there.
Steph?
Hey.
They're 4-7.
They suck.
I mean, okay. Well, okay. Hold on. Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell.
And then probably Jokic still has to be. I don't think he got up. I don't think he ever stood up from the table. I think he still has a seat.
I think so. Yeah.
He's like,
you got to carry him out, and he's heavy.
Well, he's waiting for his horse to come out front. Pick
yeah,
him
exactly.
Up.
He's good.
Larry Markkanen? Right now? Why not?
A week of Larry Markkanen for MVP? Number 9 on the tracker. Yeah. The basketball reference tracker.
Okay, so Luka, Giannis, Donovan Mitchell, Jokic, Tatum, and then the Curry is the wild card of the bunch.
Yeah, okay, Jokic sure. has his scoring numbers overall. I mean, the team is great. He is leading the team like he should, but he's ready to give it up. He's ready to give up that MVP trophy. He's only got 20.9 points per game. That's a big drop-off.
But isn't he? He's like a triple-double. I mean,
yeah.
21, 10.5, and 9.3. Not bad.
Not bad.
So he's there. He's still at the table. Okay. Our next game. Oh, Jokic.
Hey, nice touch.
Look at that. Powering the Nuggets past the Spurs for their third straight victory. Have the Denver Nuggets played any other team besides the San Antonio Spurs?
They've played 98% against the Spurs so far this season. They did play the Jazz for one game, though. Okay. They played the Jazz one game early in the season.
Oh, yeah, they lost the first game.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And then they seem to have righted the ship a little here. You see Jokic powers Nuggets. It's right there.
Yeah.
Right there on the lower third. Looks beautiful, but it was actually Jamal Murray who was the key to this victory. 19.6 assists for Murray. In the fourth quarter, he went 3-for-4, scored 6 points, and had two beautiful assists. One, a spin move where he's like snaking through the pick and roll, finally finds Jokic with a behind-the-back dish in traffic for a dunk to Jokic. Then he throws like a 100-mile-an-hour sidearm fastball to Aaron Gordon right underneath the rim for a dunk to basically ice things. Jokic, though, he did do some powering. 26 points, 8 boards, 10 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He had a post move where he was dribbling left-handed and just threw it backwards, right-handed. No problem. This was cool. MPJ, 24 points, 4 threes. A nice win for the Nuggets and a nice fight for the Spurs. They played hard in the fourth quarter. I thought Trey Jones was kind of a game-changer for them. He had a career high in points. And when he checked in into the fourth quarter, he was just pushing the pace, forcing turnovers, and making it a game. It was basically just Jokic and Murray, though, down the stretch. They were taking turns, feeding each other, feeding some teammates here and there. But for the most part, all Jokic and Murray. So nice to see Murray kind of rounding into form here. The only other takeaway I've got from this is that the Spurs should switch permanently to their Iceman jerseys. They're awesome.
You love those.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. The shorts are fire.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they're good.
Yep.
I saw yesterday, after our NBA Weekend Winners and Losers podcast, there was some blowback from Nuggets fans saying, you never talk about us. Why aren't you talking about Denver? Where's the love? And you know, I said, look, it's a long season. We'll get to them. But I think there's some point to that, that they just seem to be going under the radar for whatever reason. Maybe it was that opening night loss and Jamal Murray slowly getting back into the swing of things. But here they are at 7-3. Good start, strong start. Michael Porter Jr.'s looked solid, you know.
Absolutely,
I think there's some
overlooked.
Truth to that. Thanks for calling us out.
Absolutely overlooked.
Yeah.
I thought they were closer to 500, at least going into last night. You know, one game over 500. But the fact they're 7-3, it's surprising. It has been quiet.
And the loss to the Jazz, at the time, we're like, ooh, that's a bad opening night loss. Oh, is it? Utah Jazz are going to win the title. So not really. So that's a fair L at this point. So, yeah, they're playing really well. It's like you don't want to get too excited, too ahead of yourselves, but it's nice that they have this. We're finally getting to see this trifecta play together here in the two-time MVP, Jamal Murray, and MPJ.
He's got his boy back. Jokic has his boy back. It's at least a guard to create.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he's coming on. And they've been bringing him along slowly. So it's okay that he's not an all-star this season. But he should be an all-star in the playoffs, hopefully.
Next game here, Luka Doncic. He extends his 30-point streak to 9 straight games, guys. He's chasing down Wilt slowly but surely here. Mavs edged the Nets 96-94. Now, this was a weird ending to this game. The Mavs were in control. With about 3 minutes or so to go, I think they took their foot off the pedal and forgot that there was some Nets standing in the corner just splashing threes. It was a couple wide open corner threes. And then there was like a missed KD jumper, but there was a couple offensive rebounds. It finds its way to Cam Thomas. He hits a really difficult three in front of the bench. So suddenly it's a one-point game with 25 seconds to go. And then, man, I almost wish Lili was here because this just turned into a free throw fest. There was a lot of FTs. Luka made 2. With about 14 seconds to go. So they're back up 3. Then Durant is fouled on the dribble, right? So they're putting him to the line. He hits 2. Okay. Free throws for free throws. Dorian Finney-Smith, they got to foul him. He hits 2. There's still like 10 seconds to go, but Dallas is up 3 again. So Brooklyn inbounds with like 6.5 seconds to go, and Durant is fouled by Reggie Bullock while attempting a 3. Uh-oh. You got to know, Reggie. Durant's going to go right up into that 3, like right away. And then Durant, stemming to the line, got to hit all 3 to tie this game. He had made like, 60-plus in a row at that point? hits the first, and the second rims out. So now he has to intentionally miss the third to give themselves a chance. He perfectly misses it with Royce O'Neal screaming in. Royce O'Neal grabs it, should have went right up. Like, he has, you're not going to get a better look in that situation. But he sort of panicked a little bit. I don't think he could believe that he got it. And he was like, oh, we got to get it to KD. And there's just way too many bodies in there. Mavs come up with that sort of scramble, the loose ball, and they hold on for the victory. But a lot of free throws made the back and forth there until KD unfortunately had one rim out there, Tass. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this game. You love free throws?
He takes a lot of free throws. I thought when I saw that number that he had hit 62 straight, I thought, well, he must be – he hasn't missed one all season.
Right.
But he had missed a few early – I mean, this is just over his last 10 games or so. He's been phenomenal. Yeah, I feel I felt bad in that moment for Kevin Durant, but it feels like – there's always a little breaking point with the Brooklyn Nets. Last year it was game one when the Boston Celtics ran a beautiful play, took every second off the clock in the playoffs, game one of the playoffs, I should say, and Marcus Smart scored that basket. That just broke the back of I thought Smart made the pass.
Smart soared, but passed it to Tatum.
Yeah, the layup from Jason Tatum. That's right. Yeah, I'm all mixed up.
Okay, but that. Okay.
But anyways, there's always a breaking point with this Brooklyn Nets, and it sure feels like it's going to come at some point. I don't know if it's this free throw or whatever, but they were playing really, really well since Kyrie went out.
Yeah, they've been playing much, much better.
And
the Mavs should have put this game away, if we're being honest. And like I said, they just left like guys open to shoot threes. Man, when you're up that big with 3 minutes to go, like really just play the three-pointer because you know they're going to start bombing away these teams. And they just like they took their foot off the pedal, but or off the gas. Is that what's the saying? I guess
pedal.
Took your foot off the
same
gas.
Same thing, yeah. Off the gas pedal.
That's good.
Yeah. But it's weird in an electric car because you tell somebody, you take your foot off the gas. Yeah, you don't say take your foot off the pedal, you know?
Yeah, that's why I caught myself.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it, and I did. And
yeah,
you guys understood what I was saying.
Yeah.
But the gas is go. And
the gas
took it
is
off.
Go. That, not anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Not
well,
in this
now.
Day and age.
No. How is your
Everyone
electric vehicle doing?
Everyone has an electric
doing?
Car. I love talking about it. That's why I brought it up. It's good. Thanks. That's how much I like talking about it. It's good. Thanks. I went to an electric car show. Converted DeLorean into an electric car.
Really?
You would have loved it.
Can those things even get up to 88 miles per hour?
No one said that there.
No? Damn. You got to charge it. You got to charge it for 88 hours more like it. Anybody say that there?
No.
Oh.
Should have had you.
What was the Georgia power bill after that event?
Actually, if you have an electric vehicle...
That's a lot of plug-in, buddy.
If you have an electric vehicle in the state of Georgia...
Yeah?
You can get a superior rate. You pay 1 cent per electric charge. You pay 1 cent...
What are you talking
about? Pay 1 cent per hour for your charge overnight if you have an electric vehicle.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
Because they are encouraging you to buy electric and to use your car overnight and to charge your car overnight. 1 cent... Who cares?
It's working, that deal. Because I am either seeing the same 7 Teslas in this city every day, or there are a million of them in this
city. There's a million.
Yeah.
There's a million. There's actually too many. There was like a lawsuit about it or something like that. Not too long ago. Wow. There was, yeah.
There are so many. It's nuts.
People come to Atlanta and they say, whoa, an Uber or Lyft Tesla?
Yeah.
That's strange
normal.
For people.
Yeah, yeah here.
Yeah, it's normal here. Yeah. And if you want that 1 cent rate, which everybody should get,
yeah.
You don't even really need an electric vehicle. You just go onto the website and you say, hi, I have an electric vehicle. And they'll just give it to
all
you.
Right.
So it's good. Do all your washing and dishwashing and wash your car at night between 12 and 7 a.m. No, sorry. Forget the not the car washing. That makes no sense. But use your dishwasher.
Yeah.
Use your washing machine. Use all your appliances between 12 and 7 at night.
Yeah, set it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like this with the holidays coming up, too. I can keep my tree on all during the night. If I get this deal.
You only plug in your tree overnight. Yeah.
All right.
I don't like that, though.
What?
I'm just worried.
Fire hazard.
Yeah,
fire
hazard. You get you got to get a timer. The timer is a brilliant invention.
Nice. It is.
I got that even from my porch lights. It's great. It knows when the sun is out, you know, and then it goes off.
Ooh.
I love that.
Sun's out. Not for long enough these days.
Oh, jeez.
Let's just talk about lights.
I had to have an espresso before I went down to the fortress last night because, yeah, it's dark at 5:30 again.
It's brutal. Like, brutal times.
Man,
brutal times.
I want to go to bed. All right, Julius Randle leads the Knicks. 3-point barrage in a win over the Wolves. Tass, your Knicks, you were giving them winner of the weekend, even though they split their games over the weekend, and you were saying, look, Tibbs is leaning into the new rotations.
I love it.
But what do you think of
that? I love the rotations.
The Wolves?
They hammered the Wolves. I liked the starting lineup coming into this game. Unfortunately, Quentin Grimes was out, but still, Tibbs going younger. Cam Reddish in, Evan Fournier benched, and then Jericho Sims at the center spot when he could have easily put in Isaiah Hartenstein, a more traditional center. So I like that starting lineup. And then they come out against a team with no Rudy Gobert on the Wolves side. Towns back at the center spot thinking, all right, they're going to feel good. Anthony Edwards, who just got his first dunk of the season because there's all these bigs, as he says, by the rim. They're going to feel better. My God, this was a terrible, terrible Wolves performance. We've said it. We've said it before against the Spurs, but this was even worse. This was a sound the alarm, what the heck is going on performance. It was really bad. John Krasinski writes for The Athletic for the as the Wolves beat writer said this was the worst, and it definitely felt that way. The first half, Julius Randle, not the best of three-point shooters. He came out the first quarter. He hit 5 threes because they were open.
Yeah.
And everybody was comfortable hitting threes to start this game. And so you'd think, 38-point first quarter for the New York Knicks. Would the Wolves respond in the second quarter? The answer is no. They did it again, back-to-back 38-point quarters, because they just didn't care to get out to three-point shooters. Then Knicks' offense isn't all that complicated. Just get in front of their shooters. And, Randle hit 8 on the evening. A phenomenal shooting night for him, 8 of 13. It is wild. He had 31. And, they just allowed shooters to get open, and you think that they would fight back, but absolutely not. And, again, with the lane open without Rudy, they'd fight back, but no. So I was surprised. Wasn't surprised by Cam Reddish getting up 5 shots in the first 6 minutes. That's what he does. He's back. He had a couple of games where he slowed down, but then – Tibbs sat him after that quick shot, that sixth one, and then he got back, he reined him in. Only 2 more shots the rest of the game. So Tibbs got to play these young guys. It's happening. But the Wolves, I don't have an explanation for why they're leaving everybody open. I guess it's that chemistry just is not carried over from last year that they had, at least.
They're missing some perimeter defensive guys that they obviously got moved in the Rudy Gobert trade. This is a bad, bad loss. Knicks played great. They're big three of Brunson, Barrett, and Randle obviously had great games. But the Wolves here, I wonder, with that new ownership, they make the splashy move for Gobert. Hey, we're going all in here right now. We want to win. What will they do now? And what can they do? I know there's always talks of trading D'Angelo Russell. Will they get even more drastic in terms of trading like a Karl Anthony Towns?
Ooh.
Hey, I'm hearing some buzz about that. There's buzz in my ear. Sorry, my connection's on.
I kicked the cord underneath a little bit, unfortunately.
he played fine, obviously, offensively. But, I'm sort of being serious here. The idea of, would you cash in on a haul you could get back for Karl Anthony Towns to give the team to Anthony Edwards, obviously keeping Gobert as a... you'd basically just be creating sort of the Utah Jazz, Anthony Edwards as the Donovan Mitchell, and then getting more pieces back. I'm throwing it out there. I'm just chucking it out into the universe. But it's bad. I don't have any thoughts on this one, TK.
My main way of consuming this game was through 2 tweets. One was from Tass. You put up that clip of Micah Norrie just trashing the Timberwolves at halftime. I was like, ooh, this can't be good. Checked in, didn't look good. And then I saw a Skeets tweet this morning that was a retweet of Anthony Edwards basically saying, we came out soft and we have no energy.
Yep.
They're 10 games into the season, and there's zero fight, zero chemistry, and zero energy. It's bad. It's bad in the Timberwolves. I think we're all trying to give them a long leash because there are a lot of new players in. Gobert is a tricky piece to fit in, especially now that they're going to be going double big, which is kind of different in the NBA. So things need to be figured out, but it feels like they figured out absolutely nothing in 3.5, 4 weeks here.
It feels like Groundhog Day with this Wolves team. Like, their loss and then the comments after, and it's like
exactly
the same
right.
thing over and over again. It's like, okay, do something about it, but we'll see.
They're lacking some, whether it's chemistry or the leadership as well.
Yeah, that's why I bring up the Karl Anthony Towns part of
it. That's
fair. That's what I meant.
It would be wild.
It'd be wild.
They acquire Rudy Gobert for everything, and then they essentially traded their other big for right. everything, like that same type of haul in theory.
Yeah. Next game. We got the Rockets snapping a 6-game losing streak. They beat Orlando 134-127. My goodness.
Palate cleanser. Yeah. This one's a palate cleanser here. This one was fun. Zero expectations for any of these teams. Two of the youngest team in the leagues, and it looked like it last night. So many turnovers. 39 combined turnovers, but 261 combined points. So really, really great. I went in wanting to see Paolo Banchero versus Jabari Smith Jr. And this one, the number one pick versus the number three pick. Turned out to be a blowout for Paolo in that respect. 30 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals for the number one pick. The number three pick, Jabari Smith Jr., 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. I don't know, man. His skill set, I think he's in a tough spot because Jalen Green likes to shoot. Kevin Porter Jr. loves to shoot. And Jabari Smith Jr. seems to have a supplementary kind of skill set where he needs people to be creating for him so he can hit threes and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if they're going to be creating right away. But it was Jalen Green who did lead the way for Houston. He was incredible. 34 points, 12 of 18 from the field, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. So quick going to the hole. It's his 10th 30-point or more game of his career, and he's still only 20 years old. According to StatMuse, there are 6 guards ever with 10 30-plus point games before they turn 21. All current players.
Wow.
Can you name them?
Luka's a guard.
Luka's got to
be. Devin Booker's got to be.
Booker is one of them. Obviously, Jalen Green is one of them.
Yeah. So how many more?
Three more, and 2 of them were rookies of the year. Two of them were number one draft picks.
Oh.
Well, we should know those.
Blake Griffin?
No. These are all guards.
Oh, guards. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So number one pick. Definitely not Ben Simmons.
Not Ben Simmons.
John Wall?
No. A fair guess.
Getting wiggy with it?
Not a guard. One of these guys we played in the game last night. Played in the previous game that we talked about.
Okay.
He was the number one draft pick.
Who was the last? What was
Everybody's
the last?
Very excited for him. Some people think his name is Kermit, but it's not.
Oh, Anthony Edwards.
Jesus,
yeah. Ant-Man, yeah.
He was a number one draft pick.
I forget he's a number one pick.
Yeah, I forget that.
He didn't win Rookie of the Year, though.
Yeah.
He didn't. Not his season. He didn't win Rookie of the Year. Anthony Edwards didn't.
Donovan. No.
He also didn't win Rookie of the Year.
LaMelo.
LaMelo Ball won Rookie of the Year. He had 10 30-point games before
LaMelo
he
Ball?
Turned 21. Yep. And then the final player is probably the guy we've talked about the most this season.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Exactly, right.
Yep.
Luka, Booker, Anthony Edwards, Kyrie, LaMelo, and Jalen Green. Some nice bucket getters there. Wow. The other guy that totally stuck out to me watching this one was Alperen Şengün.
Oh, yeah.
20 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. He's at 17 points per game, 10 rebounds for the season, finally in the starting lineup. Yep. I accidentally was watching the Rockets broadcast, even though they were playing in Orlando, and I heard Ryan Hollins say that he's got the best post footwork in the NBA. He's like Jokic, Embiid, more dominant, obviously more size.
Yeah.
But from a pirouetting and like finesse standpoint, Alperen Şengün is the guy. So stay tuned to a Sicko report.
Oh,
yeah, man. I love watching. This guy is one of the most watchable guys in the league right now. He had a hilarious crossover on the break last night, a couple of really nice hook shots. He plays like Jokic, but obviously Junior Jokic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mini horse.
Yes, he's a mini horse.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right, great breakdown. I know the Şengün fans are going to be happy with that. They're out there. Those Rockets fans, they love that guy.
Rightfully so.
This game, the next one here, perfect example of why you should never leave early an NBA game, even though I did last night. I got to beat the traffic. Late start. I had to get home. Had to watch all these other games.
There's no traffic.
But...
Oh, the traffic.
Getting out of the fortress?
Didn't you ride Marta?
No, Jared drove last night.
Okay.
But you shouldn't have left this game, especially if you were a Clippers fan, because they rallied late against the Cavs. They snapped the Cavs' 8-game win streak.
They did.
And, you know, there were so many games on yesterday with everybody playing, and this is one of the late starts. So unless you were on the West Coast, if you're an East Coaster or even international, you'd probably, like, gone blind by how much basketball you'd been watching last night. So I wouldn't, you know, hold it against you if you went to bed with 5 minutes remaining in this Clippers-Cavs game thinking, well, there, Cleveland's going to make it 9 straight. because they're up 111-98. But here's what the Cavs did in their final possessions. Shout out to Ghostface Ziller for breaking this down for me in his newsletter this morning. So Kevin Love split a pair of free throws. Then Caris LeVert got a charge. Okay. Love missed a three. Darius Garland and Love missed threes. There was an offensive rebound in between those. Caris LeVert missed a three. Darius Garland missed a layup. Garland, live ball turnover. Really bad one. Terrence Mann got a dunk off of it. Cavs timeout. Okay, they're still up. Don't worry. Garland turnover. Oh, my God. Jared Allen missed layup. What's going on? Garland missed three. This all happened. That's 10 offensive possessions over about 4 minutes and 20 seconds of clutch game time. Three turnovers, over 7 shooting, just the 1 point off that one Kevin Love free throw. And as Ziller pointed out, 0 possessions by Donovan Mitchell or Mobley in that little run. Now, they scored after that, but while all that was going on, the Clippers were scoring. Paul George and Norman Powell were huge down the stretch. A couple massive and ones where they, obviously scored and hit the free throw after. So just a crazy loss here from Cleveland. That's fine. You know, no one's going to overreact to this, but they had it in the bag. And I'm sure, like I said, people probably turned it off. I'm like, okay, that's a win. Clippers had a little fight in them there late.
A weird decision to me by Paul George missing that free throw on purpose. It would have made it a 3-point game. The ball goes through the hole, and I guess the Cavs can set up some sort of inbound pass, but it has to be from the baseline that it couldn't call timeout.
Yeah.
And so it would have to be a bomb. And then so it was a 2-point game, and Kevin Love, who is the absolute best
at chucking like a full court pass or shot. You're right.
Outlet pass master. He puts everything, full court outlet passes, he puts it on the just on the guy's hands at every single point. He hit the rim.
It was so close.
And that was a.
And you're saying because Paul George missed that intentionally. Yeah,
that would have tied the game. But whatever, it worked out. But that would have been amazing. Yeah, it was inches away. It was an 85-foot shot or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was wild. Because it looked like it was like whoa. It's tough to say it like tell from the side because you're like is that going to be wide left by a mile? But like it had the right trajectory and you're right, just missed by inches. But good win there from the Clippers. They needed that one and the Cavs just whatever, they were due for an L, just a weird one.
Yep.
And then I don't love like that part like you give the ball to Donovan Mitchell. I mean it's fine, they're figuring it out and they've had an amazing start to their season, but that ball has to a little bit more in these clutch situations. Just give it to him, man. That's why you traded everything for him. And he's been killing it. He's at the MVP table, for crying out loud.
And it has been going to him.
100%. Before last 100%. Night. It was just odd. And, maybe that's the Clippers' like defensive game plan to keep it away from him. But a little more fight there getting the ball to him, I think, would have probably helped their chances to win. 2 more games, guys. We're almost there. Kuzma and the Wizards hand their Hornets a 5th straight loss, 108-100. Big takeaway.
I'd rather talk about the previous game some more. I'm surprised that this game is in the 14 hole. I thought it'd be the 15th of 15. But anyways, just to mention for my man Evan Mobley, because I'm going to talk about Evan Mobley with the Cavs, that 26-point night, his best offensive night.
Sure.
Anyways, this game, no Bradley Beal, health and safety protocols, no LaMelo, still waiting, no Gordon Hayward. He's sitting there with his tattooed ring finger just chilling on the
waiting
sideline.
Waiting for his hair to grow back. Yeah.
I was just so depressed watching this game. It's down the street, 4 hours away. I love the honeycomb.
Down the street in another state, four hours away.
Down the street is how we ended up in Tuscaloosa when we were driving to Memphis.
You and your electric just one cars, road, man.
You can get into Tesla and just push the go button and you're there. You don't have to do anything. 4 hours, that's like nothing. Anyway, it's just the vibes in there, so quiet. I'm surprised that they're middle of the pack in terms of attendance. I'm shocked. But anyway, with those two guys out, LaMelo and Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, who is back, he gets every shot he wants. And 2 games since returning, he got 24 shots and then 23 in this one. He had a,
nice.
He had a bad evening, though. 1 of 9 threes. It was depressing in terms of just no one hitting shots. 5 threes made on either side. So just a tough one. But the guy who came in and really changed this game was Jordan Goodwin. That's a big who.
I was gonna drop a who on you.
Yeah. Undrafted Jordan Goodwin, 7 of 7 from the floor.
Wow.
2 of 2 from the line, and he's playing ahead of lottery pick Johnny Davis, who is a DNP.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the interesting part. So anyways, Kuzma's fine. Porzingis keeping it up. So they got enough performances to win. They hadn't won in Charlotte since January 2017. Pretty surprising.
That's weird.
They're in the same division.
Yeah, that's odd.
Very 9 straight that they had lost. In Charlotte, Tough Night for Dennis Smith, and Tough Night Shooting, and Tough Night for Shoes. Kyle Kuzma lost a shoe.
Yeah.
Took some sweet ass time putting it back on, but there's two explanations for how he couldn't. Okay. He like slid. You know, he was sort of in the key, and then he slid his ass off the floor past the baseline, so he didn't get stomped or stomped. What a word!
stomped.
Yeah, he didn't get stomped, and. He either has orthotics, which kind of came out and he had to readjust, or he's got high tops and he really had to unlace
right.
and get in there. I think he's got Pumas, which are high tops. He's got to deal with Puma for a couple of years ago. But anyways, it took forever. But you know what? They're playing the Hornets and that's okay. Not a lot of enthusiasm in that building.
No.
It really hurt watching that game. People more excited for the $3, two tacos from Jack in the Box, which I've never ate at once in my life. I'm fine. I hit the road for 4 hours. If I see a Jack in the Box, I'm trying it and dying the next day. But I've never done that. Have you guys ever tried Jack in the Box?
I feel like I've had it once.
I don't think I've had it in the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh.
90s. 90s maybe.
Wow. It's always like, it's like Checkers. You know, it's like, who's going there? Like,
a lot of people.
I know. But it's like, I never think to go to a Checkers.
Same,
or
I think I would like it too. They got like sliders. Yeah. I love a slider.
Yeah, it's like White Castle, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You said stompled.
Stompled.
That's a skeetism. That's a stomped
one,
and a trampled.
Trampled.
Yeah. Stompled. That's
stomped.
A real.
And I feel that's exactly what would have happened to Kuzma, because like they wouldn't have noticed he was there, so it would have been like an accidental stomping, which I think is a stomple. Stumbling, stomping, trampling, toppling.
Yeah, they stompled. All work.
Stompled.
Language is evolving.
Final game. Wow, we almost did it here. Sadiq Bey scores 25. Pistons have a big second half. They beat the Thunder 112-103.
Yeah, I signed up for this one because I was on my PlayStation and Tiddlywinks. The young boys.
Nice callback.
Honestly, I was watching Houston and Orlando, two of the youngest teams in the league. I saw this game was on. I was like, if I watch this game, I can see most of the first two rounds of the last draft.
Yeah.
In the Orlando game, Paolo, Franz, and Suggs. For Houston, Jalen Green, Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason, even Usman Garuba got on the court last night. OKC has Giddy, the J-dub Jalen Williams, Usman Jang, and Trey Mann. Detroit has Cade, Jaden Ivey, and Jalen Duren. Literally 15 first-round draft picks from the past two drafts, and they just happened to meet up. This one, another tale of two halves. Oh, yeah, bringing it all around. This podcast has kind of been a tale of two halves, you know, when you really think about it. It's actually going to be like three parts.
You just said that the other day, didn't you?
I said tale of two halves at the beginning of this podcast. First game and my last game.
We're going crazy.
OKC won the first half by 15. Detroit won the second half by 24 points. There was a big overturn call late in this game. Cade Cunningham called for a charge, but Dwayne Casey called for a review. The foul is overturned. The Pistons end up getting a couple of free throws from Sadiq Bey on that same possession. Post-game, Dwayne Casey credited the Wi-Fi at Little Caesars Arena for being able to make the call. There are a lot of arenas where the internet's a lot slower than it is here.
I couldn't send a photo last night from the Fortress.
You better hook up to TW Traveler,
I tried to send Nora a photo of on the big screen, $1.9 billion jackpot. We got to get in.
Get some tickets,
wouldn't
Nora.
Wouldn't go through, yeah.
Well, good thing for you, it was delayed. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. There are a lot of arenas where the internet's a lot slower than it is here. John Hollinger, we need an arena Wi-Fi ratings report. All 30 arenas. Who's got the highest bods per second?
That's great. That's true sicko shit right there, man.
That's next level.
That is crazy next level.
You think they're asking Dwayne Casey to sell tickets? Because that's what it feels like.
Come on
it's
down.
Like, please. You can just scroll on your phone here instead of at home. Come on down, please.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, is Little Caesars pizza, is they known for being fast?
Fast and ready.
Wow. Yeah, just like the internet.
Just like our internet. That's actually pretty good.
Did you jump on the Wi-Fi at Hawks Arena?
I think I forgot.
It actually works pretty well.
Yeah, okay. I think I wasn't on the Wi-Fi. Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Good win from Detroit.
Oh, yeah. One other little note I had. We just talked about Kyle Kuzma taking forever to take his shoe off and put it back on. Same thing happened to Jalen Duren. His shoe came off mid-possession. He walked to the sideline, got his shoe back on, and cut through the lane to get a basket on the very same possession.
Amazing.
Real tale of two halves. Tale of two shoes.
Tale of two shoes.
Yeah. Velcro shoes or something like that? Is that what it was?
His slipped on so fast. He must not have it the heel lock lacing.
Do you like to really, when you hoop, do you like a super tight sneaker?
Yeah. I pull it way too tight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got the ankle issues. Yeah, with your
it feels so secure to me.
Yeah.
Then I go and try to put on my shoes the next time. I'm like, why are my shoes so tight?
Yeah.
Me.
What about you? What do you do?
I'm a tidy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You a loose boy?
No, I think I'm a tidy too.
Nice.
Yeah. Like it sometimes hurts, right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't want that. But it's like I like a tight shoe.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I want a super light tight shoe. All right.
Light and tight. Light and tight, baby.
All 15 games. Boom.
They said it couldn't be done.
There it is. We got to take one more break. But when we come back, we got like three tweet of the nights. My God. It's going to be like 2 hour long podcast. Oh, yeah, come on back.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with the boys here. Last night's pick'em game was the Raptors-Bulls game. Raptors were favored by 4.5 on the road in Chicago. And I went with Trey. I said, I got to back the Bulls to cover at least.
Yeah.
They hit the money line because they never lose on Monday night. So, Tass, you got the L. Trey and I get the W. I'm 3-2. I'm finally leading this thing we call the pick'em. You guys are 2-3, so it's tight. It's close.
That was blind faith, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Ryan Reynolds wants to buy the Ottawa Senators.
Yes.
It's because he grew up around Ottawa. He wants to buy the Senators.
Well, he's got a soccer team already.
Does he?
He got Wrexham.
Excuse me?
I don't know. Doesn't he have Wrexham with the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
You know, Wrexham, I barely know him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's Ryan Reynolds. Tell me in the stream team. There's a whole, like, I don't know if it's on Hulu or Apple. I don't know where it is. There's a whole, like, documentary on it. He bought it. He bought this, like, lower-level team over in England.
Huh,
or Wales. Maybe it's in Wales, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Anyway, I guess he wants a hockey
team now. He wants a hockey team, yeah, because he grew up in... also on the West Coast, but he also grew up in Ottawa. And then he said if he doesn't get the Senators, it being Election Day, he also said he could just buy off a senator here in the U.S. Get it?
I do.
Yep.
I do get it.
It's funny. It's sad. But it's true.
Okay, so no game tonight. We don't need to make a pick.
Nope.
Because there's no games on, because it's Election Day here. So we'll pick it back up on Wednesday's show.
Get it.
Ha.
Get it out.
All right. Tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
That you were doing.
doing a Kevin Costner Yellowstone impersonation
Hey, look. I love basketball. I can't help myself. When I'm at a live game and there's a big play or there's like a little run that the home team's putting together, I'm yelling. I'm barking at a ref. There's an old ass ref in last night's game that I wish I had you beside me because you know all the refs. Ooh, number 31. I'm calling him Grandpa. I was definitely calling him that. This guy's the oldest ref, I think, in the league. At least looks-wise. Gray hair.
He's more of a Curtis Blair, a Scott Wall, or a Sean Wright?
I would guess...
Not Sean Wright.
I guess Scott. I don't know why. Anyway, number 31, look it up. Old ref making some bad calls.
Oh, it's Scotty. Scotty too hottie.
Scotty too oldie. Anyway, my voice is sore from yelling at him and yelling at the game.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
What do we got? Well, who's got it? Oh, you're just looking at it on your computer.
Just looking at Scott, man.
Jess said it like it was on the screen. Oh, like,
no. Scott Wall.
Okay.
Scott Wall.
He's officiated 1,400 games, 28th season, born in 1901.
No.
Born in 1966. So he's not even 60, actually.
Okay, he looks pretty good. Take it back. I take back my grandpa yells. Couple bad calls though.
Anyway, favorite meal? Do you want to know Scott Wall's favorite meal?
Oh yeah, there's these weird NBA ref bios. Yes, I do.
His favorite what?
Meal.
Okay, I bet it's like what's the oldest meal you could think
yeah.
of?
Yeah, that's why it's good.
Really?
The oldest meal well, you could think of? Yeah. Salisbury steak.
You are on the right track.
So
it's like too bad. It's an old timey meal.
Old timey meal. It's like, carrots. Turnips.
No, it's a meal. Like you have to cook the thing.
Steak in three.
Lasagna.
It's in an oven.
It's in an oven.
It's beef
Wellington.
It's a beef.
It's a lamb shank.
It's a long cooker.
Brisket.
You're gonna get there. It's a long cooker. You pull it out special occasions. I got nothing else.
You pull out a special.
It also includes.
Can I get this meal from
it
Factor?
It also includes a type of cooking. A type. Of oven.
Like a braised or
exactly.
Short rib.
Nope.
Braised. Oh. No,
not that fancy. Just a American meal.
just a braised beef.
Pot roast.
Yeah, that's an old man meal. Pot roast.
But his favorite app is a young man's game. Well,
Bumble.
I mean, it's more of like a millennial. It's been a while. Not Bumble.
TikTok.
It's been a while.
No, he loves Shazam.
No, not that old. Not that old. Oh. It's surprising that his favorite app
TikTok
Angry Birds not TikTok
Angry Birds. This guy's just eating pot roast and playing Angry Birds at home. He's
also watching NCIS, of course.
And oh my god. Okay. This guy's old, man. I'm right. I don't feel bad yelling grandma at this dude.
Yeah, his favorite movies are Bond.
Favorite hobby, napping.
Well, a bucket list. Surprising, but he still wants to do it.
Okay, something like see something in the world, maybe
go
to Hawaii.
Ride a motorcycle. Thrill seeking.
Jump out of an airplane.
Yeah, skydive.
Okay.
He's cool. Favorite musician.
Cool.
Barry Manilow.
The Beatles or something.
No, the funniest thing
Bruce
is
Springsteen.
It was mentioned in the past week. His favorite
Garth?
Musician.
Oh,
no.
Tim McGraw.
That's right.
Wow.
Oh,
Scott.
I was listening to Tim McGraw as I walked in here today. Scott Wall of No Dunks.
Okay, we got to get...
Wait till he hears about Bike Baron.
Yeah.
That game was the jam.
What was that before? That was before.
I think it was before Angry Birds.
You think so?
I think so.
Maybe.
Same era, maybe.
They weren't making movies out of Bike Baron, were they?
No.
Angry Birds got them. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
What, didn't we already play that?
We did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can play it again.
We did. You're right. My bad. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night again, JD. Do it.
You want it back? Yeah, okay.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. All right.
We're not going anywhere. Sorry.
Yeah, we're only an hour and a half in.
Yeah, Graydon will be here soon.
Okay. Well, do you want to play it or not?
Well, it's not lined up.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Okay, here
it
comes. Lined up for the first
hour. Right.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Oh, yeah, my throat was sore.
Yeah.
That's how we got off on that tangent. My bad.
My man needs a Werther's Original from Scott Wall.
Nice hard candy.
You're going to give me a quarter and rub my head and say, way to come out to the game, young boy.
Enjoy the game? Sport? Favorite shoes? Velcro. Okay, first of three Tweet of the Nights. This one comes from the NBA, a league. I mean, it's a clip of a man
shooting
a ball with his shoulder. Luka Doncic is his name. This is warm-up. Somebody lobs the ball high off the ground. He does a little shoulder flex.
That's nuts.
You don't know what's coming when he does that first shoulder flex. Yeah. But, man, this is a called shot. The guy made
from three almost. Jeez.
That would be a high school three, guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed. Like, that's 22 feet probably. Three-pointer off the shoulder. Everybody goes crazy. Very cool. Would that count in the league if he bounced it off his shoulder?
I think so.
What are they going to call? Well, that's a good question. If he does it accidentally, I think they count it. But I don't think you – I don't know what the rule is. Scott! Hey, where's Scott?
Back in my day, we only shot the ball.
I would say no if he actually tries to. I don't know.
You can't punch the ball.
No,
you can't
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's not a punch.
Not a punch.
It's not a punch.
Cool.
Dogs are loving this.
Yeah, the dogs love that.
Okay.
The dogs love Tweet of the Night. They say you can play it once around a dog, but the second time you play that sting, it drives them crazy. All right, second Tweet of the Night comes to us from Tim Bontemps. Monty Williams says he's a fishing guy and Doc Rivers is a golf guy. So, quote, you can tell there's a lot of differences between us. Williams continued, he's a country club guy, Williams said with a smile. I like putting hooks in worms. You guys think you're more of a fishing guy or a golf guy? What do you think, Skeets?
I mean, if I have to pick one or the other, I have to go fishing guy.
Okay.
Because I'm not a country club guy and I'm not a golfer at all. But
these are the only two choices. Yeah. Sorry, you're either a fishing
guy
or a
better,
golf guy.
It's not saying much, but I'm a better fisherman than I am a golfer.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about you, fisher guy or golf guy?
Ooh, I don't want to be a golf guy. I gotta go fisher because I like being on the water, even though I'm not fishing. So I'll go that route.
You own a kayak.
I own a kayak.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. You're a fisher.
I'm more Monty than I am
more
a dog.
Monty. JD, what about you? I'm guessing fishing guy. I've seen you holding the fish.
Yeah, I'm better at fishing for sure. But I do like a country club without all the golf. There's
true.
A bar there. There's usually a nice restaurant.
Yep.
There might be a sauna.
There's probably some pickleball.
Ooh. Okay, pickleball. Yeah. You're right. Okay, country club.
Who
put me
is
down for country club.
We got to go golfing, the four of us.
Yeah.
We're all
garbage.
Foursome? Yeah.
It'd be really fun.
It would take 4 days.
We got to do the executive course.
A shorty. Like a little short guy.
Yeah, a little.
There's got to be one around.
That'd
be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Okay.
Nice. Two down, one to go.
All right.
This one is kind of a tweet of the night. It's mostly just people were tweeting us saying, hey, there was a wedgie during the Magic game. So we went into the play-by-play archive data. We pulled it out, and here's what happens. Suggs to the hole. I think that's Tari Eason, or is that Garuba? Garuba 16, I think. Garuba with the block.
Yeah, I think that's Garuba.
After the foul, and the ball gets stuck in the rim, wedgie style.
Yeah.
However, no jump ball on this one.
No. See, this is tough because... Yeah, we're calling it an unofficial wedgie. Now, here's why. We'll call a wedgie on the shot if the guy gets fouled. That's fair game, right? And that's not going to be a jump ball situation.
Right.
Okay. But in this case, I don't know who it was there that committed the foul. Was it Porter? I'm not sure. But the foul happens by another Rockets player. And then, so the whistle's called. And then the block, the wedgie occurs. Like, that to me is, that's a classic after the whistle. I know it's bang, bang, but... That's why I don't think we can count this one.
Yeah, it's too far after the whistle. It's not part of the play.
It's not part of the play.
Not part of the play. Barely. By just a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointing, though. 15 NBA games, zero wedgies.
I know.
That's tough. That's a tough one for
us. Well, I got really excited when you came in and you said, I think there may have been a wedgie. I'm not sure. I'm like, oh, what? Because I was all like, oh, man, 15 games, not a wedgie. I didn't see one. No one was pointing it out to me. And then, we looked at it. And that's why. Mm-hmm. But thanks, always. Hey, look, if you're not sure, you let us know. Helps if you tell us, obviously, the quarter and the time. That helps us find some of these, especially when there's a million games on. But we're not counting that one. People are pissed. People are
AJ
rioting.
Says there's no continuation rule for wedgies. Geez. I mean, fair.
Fair, I know, man. I know.
But it's all good, man. I will say I saw two tweets. One, full details. Incredible.
Good.
Second quarter, 3:36. Go look at it.
Oh, that's nice. That's what we need.
Thank you so much for your timestamp notifications. Mm-hmm. And also thank you to the other person who said the Magic announcer said the ball just got stuck in the crotch of the basket. That is weird.
It's wedgie-like.
Yes.
Wedgie-a-jace. Yes. Crotch. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So we've hit a bit of a lull here in the wedgies.
Yeah, we need a new one.
Yeah.
Piece of 39 I'm seeing, is that true?
Ooh, that's low.
We're falling off the pace here.
A million tweets of the nights, all bangers. Good stuff there, Trey. That was a long one, but what did you expect, right? 15 games on, we're touching on all of them, we're having some larfs, and you guys have been a blast here in the stream team with your comments, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, subscribe, podcast listeners, leave your boys 5-star ratings and reviews. Helps us in terms of the rankings. You know, we want to be up there, we want to be high, we want to be considered one of the best.
Yeah, we do. I agree,
so
man.
You gotta play your part. Today at 1 p.m., no breaks. Film session, Days of Thunder. That's a great title.
Very cool.
Right?
Yep.
Why is it called that? Are you going to explain to me on the podcast why it's called Days of Thunder? I don't remember.
Yeah. We got Jerry Bruckheimer coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to run down the ins and outs of the making of the movie, how it went over budget.
The only Thunder is the Bruckheimer logo off the top. Right?
This is why I'm asking it. Yeah, like,
well, I guess
is there
it
a thunderstorm?
Like
thunder. Is there a car?
It's loud.
It's loud. Thunderdome? Do they call it that at all? No, it's not in a dome.
I feel like I don't even think they say the word thunder.
So that's why I'm asking, man. Days of Thunder film session today at 1 p.m. over on No Breaks. That has its own podcast feed and YouTube feed. You can join the guys live. Saw people asking, will there be a show tomorrow here? You betcha there will. No games on tonight? You think that stops us? We'll probably do a longer show tomorrow. Probably. So join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern. We have a fun little twist to tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
A little NBA Reddit inspired. We did the AMA. Thanks to everybody that joined in the AMA yesterday. That was yesterday. Oh, my God. That's the stuff's going on.
Yeah, Reddit's still going on, too.
Well, Reddit's like, going on, stop. But I just like that feels like yesterday, honestly, to you. It feels like 3 days ago.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, we shouldn't watch
having
all
the crisis,
games.
Having a crisis, man. Having a time
Are
crisis.
You?
Is that a movie?
Burnt out.
Time crisis. That was a video game, right?
A video
I
game.
Think it's a video game.
Yeah. I'm having a time crisis. Need to play some video games. Anyway, we had a blast with the AMA, and we're going to do some NBA Reddit inspired, like, you know, bringing in some threads to do on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, some of the better threads, topics, more interesting topics. We're going to talk about them.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Somebody's got to go create a Anthony Davis thread.
Yeah,
so,
I'll go do
so
it.
So we can talk about it
huge,
tomorrow. But
huge.
There are some good ones out there. I've already started planning it. A Jonathan Isaac thread. Remember him? Remember
wow.
him?
Yeah.
He was the next one. Not quite the next one, like the next one, but the next one. you know, not quite the Jordan, but the...
The Jordan.
No, yeah. I said not quite.
No one was ever saying Jonathan Isaac.
He was the next 3 and D. He was not the next Kawhi. Who was he the next? Somebody good. Anyway. Someone shut
people,
you down.
People were talking about Jonathan Isaac. I agree with that.
Well, yeah. Anyway, there's some great threads.
Okay,
that
we'll talk about them.
And some great suggestions. Actually, one would have worked really well today. Somebody said, like... you know, like Michael Che and Colin Jost do, where they write jokes for each other. Like, somebody could have wrote a recap for another guy to read with Ooh. Jokes. You know, like, it's a good idea. Anyway.
Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, because there's no games tonight.
No games tonight, but we're back here tomorrow. Clipper bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, as Get This Money says on Reddit, he wants to buy us a beer in Tokyo, so we'll see you there in Tokyo really soon.
Get this money. I thought that was my financial planner for a second. I thought it was Van.
No. Oh, he's in the Van Gang? You think he's in the George Niang Van Gang?
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.